I have never procrastinated in writing a message like I did with today's sermon. I know that that's not a great way to start. I'm going to pray in a second. That'll give you a chance to sneak out the back doors if you need to. I hope you won't, but I wanted to be honest too. I'm not sure what it was. I don't know if it was having too much advance notice with Melissa's upcoming sabbatical or the idea that, you know, I had this long weekend and so surely I should wait till the very end of the long weekend to get anything done. Or perhaps, and what I really think is the case, is that today's scripture is so pointed, so simple, so clear, but then it turned out it felt nothing like that. And in that, I got a little stuck. And as always, I am grateful for a church family that lets me be that and even say it aloud to the room. Well, let's pray. We'll start there. Dear Jesus, good, faithful, full, and gracious God, you are all those things, pointed and simple and clear, and you are everything but that. May we encounter you above the noise and in between the lines, and most of all, deeply in our hearts. We ask for ears to hear, hearts to know, minds to discern, and actions that make us more like you. Amen. We are in Luke chapter 6, verse 43 through 45 today. Please join me there. It reads, "No good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of the heart produces good, and the evil person out of the evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks." I wanted to share the same scripture from another interpretation that's called The Voice. It reads in The Voice, "Count on this. No good tree bears bad fruit. No bad trees bear good fruit. You can know a tree by the fruit it bears. You don't find figs on a thorn bush, and you can't pick grapes from a briar bush. It's the same with people. A person full of goodness in his heart produces good things. A person full of evil reservoir in his heart pours out evil things. The heart overflows in the words that a person speaks. Your words reveal what's in your heart." Seems simple enough, right? You are what you speak. But then the cliches and the quotes come in. You are what you think. You are what you eat. You are what you do. Actions speak louder than words. People lie. Actions don't. Don't listen to what people say. Listen to what they do. Actions prove who someone is. Words prove who they want to be. You see that rabbit hole that I ran down? Quickly. My good fruit, bad fruit basics got swallowed up pretty quick, like Colorado peaches in the late summer. But really, poor Luke was just trying to get us to pay attention in his relaying of Jesus' words during the Sermon on the Plains. Jesus points out that some folks' lives produce good fruit, good wholesome results, and others produce evil and unwholesome results. Look at the fruit, Jesus says. You can tell what's inside. I think Jesus is trying to help the Pharisees, or help the disciples see that the Pharisees' religion is corrupt within them. A parable of the fruit and the trees at its most basic is one of those inside-outside sayings, one of those cliches. And what I think he is clear in, though, is that what is inside can't help but display itself in one's actions. Much like Donna's imagery with the toothpaste today, or yet another cliche of, if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck. I do believe that this parable is different than that of the sower, which we find in the Gospel of Matthew. It's not about trees that are sick or malnourished or what's in the soil, the rocks. he is very clearly talking about trees that bear edible fruit versus those that do not. Fruit, as we know it, is simply the product of a healthy growing fruit tree or vine. It just happens. Fruit appears on the branches effortlessly because of the tree being alive according to what its branch was created to be. It's the nature of the grapevine to produce grapes, the nature of the apple tree to produce apples. It is as simple as that. Reflect on that for a moment. The vineyards are silent at night, are they not? There's no grunting or groaning as the fruit grows and matures. There's no whining saying, do we have to create grapes? How many? They just silently do it. This production, in its human form, doesn't always come as naturally, does it? Or at least for me. Good fruit in my life is a product of living radically and lovingly changed by God. One of those you'll know it when you see it kind of things. When my heart is in the right space, good fruit is produced. In my words, but even more so in my actions. And every tree is known by its fruit. The fruit is an inevitable result of who we are. Eventually, the good or the bad fruit is evident, revealing what kind of tree we are, but not always without a little groaning. I think this season, one of continued generosity and gratitude, is a pretty good season for some good harvest in our lives. As we transition to enter Advent, our words and our actions are very clear depictors of our hearts. It's the same way that we reflect what we know of the gospel. The fruit shows in the ways that we love others and in the ways that we give of our time and our energy and our resource in this season. And I think it's an opportunity for us to reflect on our hearts and reflect on how we give, too. I read an article recently about Operation Christmas Child. It's part of Samaritan's Purse. Perhaps you've heard of it or even participated in its holiday giving tradition like I have several times. The goal is to pack a shoebox with gifts for a child in Africa. Popular items might include school supplies, candies, small toys, toiletries. I by no means want to discourage the work that they do, but the article raised some interesting points. It started by describing a scene where a young boy in Africa opens his box and finds a pink plastic slinky. Without context for this toy, one of the adults who's delivering the boxes tries to explain it to him. But he leaves even more confused and with the slinky around his neck as a new piece of American jewelry. What the article goes on to describe is what we perceive to be God's generosity, or even the overflow of our own hearts, isn't always actually the heart of God, or what the world needs for kingdom to come. By no means do I think that the slinky purchaser had anything but a major grin on their face when they picked out the toy at Target. They imagined an adorable child on the other side of the world opening it with the same amount of glee. This is the miss, because when the shoebox is done being emptied, that child is still in need. He was not looking for food or for toys, or perhaps he was, but his need would be far better served if there were sustainable employment or opportunities for empowerment in his community. So maybe it's a stretch, but it could be that we are what we speak, and we are what we do, and how we are received carries a whole lot of weight too. Joelle McNamara is the founder of a Kenya-based development organization, and she highlights this in saying, being generous requires us to dedicate profound thought to what the person receiving our generosity actually needs. She references that often large shipments of food or clothing or toys arrive in Africa. She says that first off, way too much is being paid for these shipping costs, but at the same time, the local vendors then don't have an income for a week with all that free stuff coming around. And the impact on the local economy is significant. This time of year, giving gifts can be pretty easy. I know I have my list. And in good practice, I'm trying to be more conscious of how these gifts are an overflow of my heart. I can give a gift at the grocery store of food to the students who are collecting at the doors, and you should, because those are Pooter kids out there. Or I can buy a toy off of the giving tree in my office lobby. Those are good gifts. They're important gifts this time of year. But they are easy gifts, harder gifts, gifts that lead to real change and development and growth. Well, they all require the same thing of our own hearts, change and development and growth. Harder gifts are relational work. They ask me to think long and hard about who is receiving them, to ask questions, to examine my own life. They are spaces where you might not ever feel successful or even see any progress. They're having conversations with somebody on the street or tutoring an elementary student for a couple of months or for a couple of years or choosing to purchase products that are better for our environment. This can be the overflow of our hearts. Not words and not even actions, but conscious practice. A practice of thinking about where our overflow goes, who it impacts, and how. Our fruit can be a continual practice of considering and then choosing Jesus in ways that manifest kingdom for all. What is happening in our hearts, in our minds, can't help but make itself evident in these ways. I struggled with this on a trip that I took this summer. I took 11 girls on a 2-week road trip through the American Southwest, focused on service and empowerment for young women. We spent 3 days working on the Navajo Nation in Chinle, Arizona. Our following 2 days of service were at an animal sanctuary in Kanab, Utah. We walked a paradox of a Navajo youth boys and girls club that was housed in a double-wide trailer with a porta potty to visiting a multi-million dollar animal care facility with lavender-infused air and kennels that were cleaned 3 times a day. We talked about the differences between a space that had a 3-legged pool table to one where puppies had a turf puppy playground that was more green grass than we saw in all of Chinle. Again, I don't want to dismiss the important work that we did at the animal sanctuary, or what I perceive to be the more critical work that we did on the Navajo Nation. But both invited questions that we should all be asking about what overflows from our hearts. Our crew wrestled with this. What made it easier to play with puppies than to converse with Navajo high schoolers? How do we reconcile the reality that making a $15 a month donation to the dog rescue is easier than visiting an area and building a relationship with a native person and asking the question of how we can be part of their supporting them long term? These are hard conversations. They're hard conversations at 15 years old, and they're hard conversations at 85, and they're hard everywhere in between. Our hearts overflow. And Jesus uses an interesting word translated as stored up or treasure in this scripture in Luke. It's the Greek word thesauros, from which we get our English words thesaurus and treasure, which mean the place where something is kept, a treasure chest or box, storehouse or storeroom, and then what is stored up, the treasure. The question here is, what are you treasuring? There's not judgment in that, but I think one of the places that I really got hung up in writing this was that, largely because I had to reflect a ton for myself. What is the overflow of my heart in the middle of the desert with my crew this summer? What do I bring? Am I willing to take the risk to ask some tough questions or to invest in people or systemic change, not just the easy gift from Target or the automatic donation that leaves my bank account every month? And what am I treasuring in my heart now? Is it praise, complaining, bitter memories, superiority, feeling inferior, my social media account? Treasure is one thing, but the reality is overflow. It is words and it is action. Out of the abundance or overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. What is coming out? What are you committed to? What are you about? And not just in words, but in action. Because that action is reflective of your heart. Do you see where this was a doozy? Pretty basic scripture, but one that we can't be basic about. Fruit is great. We can take it at that. Words are the same way. But the overflow of our hearts, what is happening in them, the actions that are manifesting for us and for our community and for our world, for the sake of kingdom on earth, not basic. But that overflow from this place, from you as we embrace and know a loving God, as we choose hard things, and act in bravery and boldness and desire, growth and change. That is so needed for us and for our community and for our world. So may we overflow. May you pour over and spill out and splash all over this world of ours. May you do it with goodness and may you do it with gumption and, best yet, an invitation for others to do the same. In your words, and more so in your actions. May you treasure the goods and let the overflow abound in this season and for always.